Have you pressed record yet?
Okay, so for the fourth time, welcome to the Car Culture Podcast. My name is Alex. With me today is somebody you should all know, Mr. Daniel. Daniel?
Why should everyone know me, Alex?
Why should they not know you, Daniel?
There's good reason. I'm not going to go into that anyway.
All right, so, and with us today, our first guest, our inaugural guest on the podcast is Sid.
Hey guys, I'm Sid, born and raised in Dubai. I spent 7 years in the States up till very recently, and now I'm back, and I'm a
Was it seven years?
Sorry, yeah, it was.
You know it's 7 years.
No, it wasn't. We worked together in 2016, Sid.
Yeah, but I was in the States before that as well.
Okay, fine. On and off in the US.
Yes.
Very good classic car photographer.
Thank you.
And classic Porsche owner, which Dan would say is unfortunate.
Why did you put him in the bracket of classic cars?
I think when I expect to see Sid's photography, I expect not so much American Muscle or like Lamborghinis. I expect eclectic and cool and classic.
You're saying Lamborghinis are not cool?
No, not cool, not new ones.
Anyway. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying a second question. Okay. So why is Sid here today? Why, like, I guess we're here just to talk about photography and staying fresh. Like, my biggest thing recently is how many people, whether it's Corona or not, you might have an input on this, Alex, but so many talented people in the region have kind of gone off the boil as such, or like, and I don't know why. So maybe, I'm not saying you've gone off the boil, but I think you've moved back. You obviously come from LA, which is, I don't know, I've never been, but I'm sure it's a much more creative place than Dubai, because this place has its drawbacks, especially when it comes to the car scene. And then you've moved back here and you haven't really gone off the boil. You've managed to shoot stuff still consistently. Or we can look at a photo and say that's Sid's work. And not gone and taken every single car from the PR agencies that you might work with. you know, you've come here and carried on, in my eyes, from where you would have left off. And you're getting paid to take photos as well. So, like, I know it's a very good excuse to say if you're working and you're now, let's say you start out as a car photographer, as a hobby, and then you start getting paid to do other photography work, how do you stay fresh?
That's an absolutely solid question. No one's really asked me that. To be fair, I started the car photography thing. I started photography because I like cars. I started taking photographs on my phone, outgrew that, and then eventually got a DSLR and started shooting. I never really went for any classes or anything. It was just self-taught, and I learned from people I followed. I followed a bunch of people on Instagram, which has been fantastic as a tool to just learn how to improve on photography. And it's been a learning process, but I feel somewhat comfortable now, not to say that I'm not learning. And that is what drove me. Somewhere along the way, I figured out that cars are fantastic, but there's something beyond cars. In a way, it's...
Wait, in LA or here?
In both, to be fair. It started out here, and coming back to what Alex said about him expecting classic cars from me, many people knew me for a while and still identify me as the Nocturnal Bandit, which was a small blog that I ran, which primarily focused on classic cars. And it's just something that I really like.
And that was pre-big Instagram as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
That it was early days, right? It was early days.
Very early days, yeah, because it was Nocturnal Bandit blog, and then, oh, there's an Instagram page.
Yes.
Now it's almost like I'd say that even for car culture, like our website comes second to social media pages when it used to be the other way around, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Definitely in our early days it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but then...
Because Facebook was just something...
This is where we are, right? Posting a photo to Instagram is... Like, Andy's going to disagree now because he's looking after our Instagram. It's quite simple and easy, right? is that where... I'm trying to think, like, where this disconnection of people have gone. Like, just recently, I think that maybe I'm really negative about Dubai because I haven't left here for the last 2 years now, probably. Like, it just feels like... There's so many talented people out there, or there were, and now they've just gone, oh, now I'm going to take a car from, what is it? Fiat? It's Fiat 500.
No, you mean the Abarth?
Yeah, but like, what? I don't know, like what so I get hung up about.
Can I phrase the question? Because I think the best way of looking at it is that there's the approach of I decide, I curate, I shoot when I want to, what I want. There's the other one, which is give me any car, I'll create content for it, I'll post it, and that quality dips. So are we saying that like the world that was quality has moved into a space where people are just saying, I will take anything? And it's not an ad bar because I work for you, but are we saying that
COVID has... Did you just point at the camera?
Yeah. COVID has moved photography from a passion thing I do now to like, man, anything.
I don't know if it's COVID either. I think maybe that's just because of the times we live in. But I don't know. Like, there's definitely... You almost sell yourself out. I couldn't see you, Sid, selling yourself out personally. Maybe that's because we're friends or whatever. But then, you know, Sammy Sasso is probably one of the better examples where... So he took this... I don't know why we're talking... It's a great advert for Fiat here, by the way.
It's an Abarth, so it's not.
Is it not a Fiat?
Nope.
What's the fucking difference?
It's an Abarth 595.
Okay,
or
right. So we can mute that bit out. Anyway, yeah. So but he took...
An Abarth.
Okay, maybe I can't.
Take a 500, there you go.
Take a shit car, okay. Right? Sorry. Or like, well... I don't know. It was a bit special, wasn't it? I don't know. I didn't even think...
It's a limited edition.
But he created a story about it, right? Like, yeah. On Instagram. Whereas certain other people have taken it and have just gone, oh, we'll wave a camera in front of it and we'll use substandard locations.
He took it on the longest road trip. That was the biggest pain in the ass, but it was a story. And it was a cool story to follow along, and people saw the car and it was doing something more.
Creative, like, yep. You know, and I guess we as car culture are not always the most creative things, but we won't go and take... Or I drove the... it might not be the Abarth, but it was something around the track.
That's the Abarth as well, okay. Yeah.
So I drove it around the track because it's, you know, driving a car. I'll drive a Teed around the track, right? Because it'd probably be quite good fun if someone's giving it to you. But, yeah, anyway, so regardless, it's like, how do people stay fresh? I think so many people have gone off the boil. It's not off the boil, but, like, when you live in a small place where everyone knows each other and you look forward to seeing certain people post pictures, like, where does that... How do people go so far off the, like, off the track? Like... You know, how have you managed to go, oh, I'm just going to come back to Dubai and I'll carry on doing my normal thing, right?
What, like resist the forces?
Yeah. Resist the easy life, I guess.
Initially, I was going to answer your question twofold, but you've just at the end of that question, you added another aspect to that. So I'm going to try and answer it all, which might end up somewhere totally different. Two things. One, I am fiercely individual about my style. And people may look at my photographs and say, oh, we see influences from five different photographers. And I'm not saying no, I've been influenced by those people, but I don't want to say I copy anyone. I take little bits and pieces of what I like, and eventually that develops into my style, but I always want to continue changing. I never want to stop, because then I feel like I'm moving backwards. The second thing about going off the boil that you guys are talking about, I think, I don't remember which YouTuber it was, it might have been Mr. JWW or someone else, who mentioned the pressure that comes with having to create content and posting on a regular basis. And I don't blame anyone, if you commit to that life and you start doing that, I don't blame anyone if the quality starts going down. Because as a creative, being creative is not like anything else, if I've got to be honest. It's a very different, not industry, but a different place that you are, and you're creating work. And it takes a different part of you to do that, to actually put that work out there. It doesn't always happen. Everyone's got their moments. Writer's block or creative's block is a real thing. It depends on your mindset. People, like, if you have had a bad week, you can't just sit down at your laptop or grab your camera and go,
let's, you know, be what? Creative.
That, or I'm going to go and put the best work of my life out there. I'm going to take a car that is absolutely average and I'm going to create the best I've ever done. It doesn't really happen that way. You need to feel positive, you need to be positive, you need to be confident, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then coming, you were mentioning coming back to this region and I'm going to keep doing stuff. I wasn't that way. If I've got to be honest, I've given it a lot of thought. Everyone asked me when I was leaving LA, they're like, has it hit you yet that you're leaving? And I said no, because it hadn't. I was so wrapped up with packing up my life over then coming here that it didn't hit me. And then I was here for the first week and I was down. I hit rock bottom.
What did you miss?
everything. I miss my life. I miss my my individuality. I miss my freedom. Literally everything. And
Then what's interesting was that what point did you ever become optimistic about coming back here and forget all the other nonsense in terms of what you're here to talk about, photography and what you want to be creative in? Was there a point when you went like, okay, I'm here, let's make the best of it? Or were you actually optimistic about like, I can't wait to shoot the cars that I weren't here when I was here before? For example, a Red NSX.
I love the way you worked in your car there. To be fair, I didn't really get optimistic. The first 2 months were super hard. Mm. And I didn't know you guys that well. I was still kind of trying to work my way back into the scene because...
I'd got drunk with him on a boat and he threw up over the side of it. But apparently he didn't know me very well. That was before coming back here, right?
How drunk was everybody?
How drunk was everybody? Everyone got pretty...
So that's fine. That's memory loss. That's okay.
Yeah.
I remember it. Okay. You were drinking that rum.
We were drinking a lot more.
So let's say that you did, that's Sid.
Yes. So anyway, so we didn't know each other. Yeah. You knew all of us, right?
I used to work with maybe, Sid.
Yeah. I did, but not as closely. Like, I'd come back. So a little bit of background. I did my undergrad in Wisconsin, and I used to go, and I used to come back. Every semester, I used to come back. And I still kept in touch with people. I used to go to the car meets, the Flat 12 stuff. It was great, and I still kept stayed connected as such. But then when I went to LA, just because of the way the visa situation works and stuff, I didn't come back for more than 18 months, which is the longest time I've spent outside of Dubai.
I've seen the work as well, and I wouldn't want to come back. It looked cool. The car scene is very cool in LA. I'd say it's almost definitive. Like, and I think car culture, I think LA is the place. So I'd get why you wouldn't be in a rush to come back if that's where you'd gone to.
Yeah. And I mean, I came back, like I said, first 2 months were tough. But at the same time, with what 2020 was, you see people struggling all around you. And everyone's got their struggles. Sure, I had my own struggles. But at the same time, you've got to count your blessings. And you come home. My parents live here. I live with my parents at the moment. But just being able to come back without having caught COVID, being healthy, living with my parents, having a roof over my head, and then trying to figure out where things go from here.
And that I don't mean to cut you off, because what I want to do is jump to, you're here, you've been here for a while, how did you get re-inspired with all the stuff you talked about? Like, let's talk about, if there's a message you can put out to all the rest of your people in the scene here, specifically photographers, what was it that Sid did to not let the flame die or not let the inspiration die, as kind of Dan said?
Keep an open mind. And this is something that Dan and I have discussed at length. I'm a Porsche guy, and that is how things are. Dan's very influenced by JDM. But at some point, we can be very... We can get into it from time to time.
I wonder where that was going. I thought you were going to say that people that drive Porsches have open minds, but... Anyway.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No, just pocketbooks, because I know how much they cost the service.
So in LA, being a Porsche guy means you're surrounded by people who have Porsches. There's a thriving JDM scene, but I'd never really got involved with it because I was...
There was enough Porsche.
There was more than enough Porsche. You come to Dubai, and the small scene that you were talking about, the Porsche guys are the Porsche guys, but it's a different type of Porsche person over here. A different type of person drives a 991 turbo as opposed to an air-cooled 964, et cetera, et cetera. But it also depends on how warm and welcoming people are as well. Now, granted, I didn't know that many air-cooled Porsche guys here, but the moment I met you guys, I mean...
There's a lot here now. Wow.
There is, but I didn't have access to them. The easiest access I had was JDM cars, and it makes you feel a certain way when you roll up to a parking lot and you've got 10 R32 GTRs there, and then Dan shows up in his black one, and he's like, Sid, how's it going? And I remember meeting you as well.
I remember this, actually.
Yep, yeah, that was the
first time I saw the NSX.
Yep.
Straight out of lockdown?
D3.
Yeah.
Correct, that was the one. And I met a bunch of people that day. I met Azeem for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes, that was the first day I met Azeem. He walks up and he's like, Sid, I've been following you. I'm involved with Kansan now. Come by the shop, we'll shoot the breeze, we'll talk. Let's have a conversation. I'm like, sure, but... Because of my mindset, I was just not sure of what was going on. I was like,
so not in a comfort zone.
No, I was totally out of my comfort zone. Mm. But at the same time, just keeping an open mind and using everything as a learning opportunity where I didn't know what an R32 GTR was. And then Dan takes me out for a ride one day, not too long ago, and I feel it. Like, I know what it feels like. Now, I'm not saying...
Faster than a Porsche.
Faster than some Porsches, I'll give you
most
that.
Most echo Porsches.
So, what's interesting and what you're saying is that because LA is such a big scene and you could just fall into a niche, you fall into a comfort zone. But coming back here, with the limitations on the scene and what cars are here...
I like this connection, by the way, because it is quite a small place, right?
Yeah, but that won't allow you to kind of fall into a comfort zone because there's just not enough... There's enough content, but also not enough cool cars. So if you stick to Porsches, within a month you've shot all the cool ones, and then you either decide I'm going to stick cool to crap, I'm going to move to crap ones, or let me just get interested in R32s. Right?
Sounds good on paper, but I disagree, and here's why. The more I thought about it, the more I figured out that the JDM scene in Dubai is like the air-cooled Porsche scene in LA. It thrives to that extent. Whereas the air-cooled Porsche scene over here is pretty small. And yeah, you'll see 10 R32 GTRs at a meet, and you'll see Silvias, and you'll see Datsun 510s and 280s and 240s.
NSXs with stupid wings on them.
Yeah, you'll see NSXs
high downforce mode, yeah.
Yeah, but you'll still see, I mean, yeah. I was here for 6 months, and that was the first time I saw a Hakusuka. Mm. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can about these cars. And that is where my fascination is, in the learning process.
To use an analogy, can we say that, like, if you're a cook,
yes,
right, and you spend time in a country that's got really good tomatoes, you're gonna learn how to make lots of good recipes with tomatoes. If you leave that place, a place that hasn't got good tomatoes but good fucking potatoes, for example, you can either stay and try and make whatever tomatoes you got into good food, or you can switch to potatoes. Right.
Yes.
As an analogy, rather, and then what's interesting with that is
the FCA marketing presentation there.
But what's cool about that is it's going to make you a better chef, right? That kind of not sticking to one speciality will make you, and in this case, it would make you a better photographer, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean,
but I struggle, right? So I get where you're coming from. That's kind of cool, right? But someone who stands up and goes, "Oh, I love GTRs," right? And they've been saying that from an early time, you know. Like, I love GTRs. I don't love GTRs, right? I'm just saying
that. You could have fooled us.
No, I don't. I don't sit there and... I never have wooed over them or whatever, but there's someone, like, will come out on Instagram, "Oh, I love GTRs," right? And then 6 months later, "Oh, I really love Porsches." Like, that's happened here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what? And is that because the scene's small or what? Like, I just like Japanese cars, right? And I haven't gone off that...
Niche, yeah.
So for a while, and car culture suffered, and everyone thinks that car culture is a JDM page, but at one point in time, I was shooting. There was a lot of the content was just my content, right?
But to use a silly example, if you'd moved to LA where the JDM scene wasn't good, but there was a thriving other scene, would you switch?
That's the thing.
That's
my question.
Well, I moved here, and albeit it was a long time ago now, and I was into
all Saxos.
No, I was into
V-dubs.
I always wanted a Saxo VTS, probably. That was when I was young. Mm. That was Halford's days.
But you in the VAG scene, VAG, yes. That's Volkswagen Audi group, before anyone says anything funny.
VAG.
VAG group, yeah. Yes.
Allow
but
me.
You did change to one sex.
So I moved here, but the Volkswagen scene's still shit here. Like, I don't care what anyone says. There's not a Volkswagen scene that I was into, right? So Volkswagen.
There is a scene.
Here, but it's like, let's go and buy the brand new Golf, put downpipe, tune, I've got a modified car.
Mark 5, Mark 6.
Yeah, Mark 5, Mark 6, Mark 7 now. Like, the standard stuff, right? Downpipe, tune, done. I have a modified car. No, you don't. You've just put a downpipe and you've put a tune on your car. It's like every other person's car, right? So the Volkswagen scene from the UK was quite non-performance based when I was there. It was all like stance. Yeah, which I still like, right?
Because it's Euro stance, it's different.
It's clean.
Yeah, because it's like Wörthersee,
Germany. But anyway, I moved here and there still is none of that. Like, there is a few, but they hang around, or that people might say, "Oh, that's a car culture guy." It's not, it's just a friend of mine or one of ours in this room who has a Volkswagen that has air and some nice wheels, right? So, but yeah, I kind of... it took me probably 6 years of being here to move out into the JDM kind of like taste. And that was just because I...
But that's what I mean. Like the ingredients for JDM were better here than they were for...
Possibly, but I think if I was in the UK, I'd probably still have a JDM car because they drive a lot better than... You get into an old Volkswagen, a Mark 1 Golf, you think they were great, and you sit like this. Like, you know, and that's how you actually sit in an old Porsche.
I was about to say, actually, Sid should...
No, that is. You sit in an old Porsche just like this. I sat in that 3.6
Oh, do you mean like the wheel, like a Mini?
Like you're driving a bus, yeah.
Yeah. Mini,
you know the old JDM car, and you're like this. Right? Like, sorry.
You heard it here first, folks.
I don't remember air-cooled Porsches being like that. I mean, the pedals are definitely canted a little towards the right, but...
Yeah, I guess it goes 3.56 to, like... You know,
this is why the GTR is not great. Unless the GTR is like not like a Porsche, but it's still not a great seating position, right? Like, so anyway, that's regardless. So,
but in terms of what you appreciate,
what do I appreciate?
Yeah, the move, the 6 year shift from this to this, and Sid as well, 6 months. I guess now you're.
Yeah, but I don't know. I never projected myself as a. I don't know, so we talk about social media, right? People are, that's how you express yourself as a photographer, right?
Content.
It's the easiest way. I don't know, I'm lost on that one. Like, why did I change? But I haven't changed, like, since I've been into JDM cars now for maybe 6 years, right? It's not like I've suddenly come out and told the world that I love, what do you like, Paganis or some shit? Like, you know.
Nothing wrong with Pagani. I wouldn't mind a Zonda S.
Anyway.
Yeah, Hash is here, by the way, just behind the camera. Hash knows what I'm talking about.
But like, he's
C12S,
got his mask
one.
On as well. Yeah. So I can't see his expressions.
We want to see if you get some good giggles.
Oh, he's laughing.
There he is.
But no, like, I don't...
There we go. Now it's as a proper podcast.
But that's still not... it still doesn't go to, like, I'm a talented photographer. There are a lot of talented photographers here that fell into it somehow or another. And, like, I would be attracted by... Oh, and you can still put... And you might agree with this, like, a substandard car in a cool location and it works, right? Like, but it's gone from, I'm following people that are finding, really cool cars that I've never seen before, which I appreciate. And that could be non-JDM, right, mm-hmm. number one. And then they're finding a fantastic location, which, again, I think you run out of those fantastic locations quite quickly here. But now they're just going, oh, I'll go and take the latest BMW.
Yeah.
And I will go to somewhere like Jebel Jais. Like, I don't know, we recently took the Super up Jebel Jais, but that was for an actual written review. That's not like... Oh, I'm looking at pictures of a BMW at Jebel Jais.
To move right. The question to you, Sid, because it feels like we're talking about two things. We're talking about personal passion and craft, right? Craft is saying, look, at, like, it is graft to find a cool car and find a cool location. I call that the craft of photography. And then the other side, it's got your personal passion for whatever you like. And those two things come together to make cool content, right? Would you agree with that, Sid? Is that how your brain works as well?
Kind of, sort of.
But he hasn't jumped around, right? Every time. So I've unfollowed loads of people on Instagram recently, right? And they were just churning out utter... You're saying, like, stuff that you reshare. We all reshare stuff we like, right?
Yep.
And I will drop you a compliment for once. Most of the stuff that you reshare makes me laugh, right? Or I can appreciate it sometimes, right?
Well, it's not my own car.
Your car,
yes, yeah, that was coming. Yeah.
You know, and then... So since I know if... It's the same with Hash as well.
If Hash mentions it, Sid, honestly, like, I know we're all in the same room, but if there's something we each share, I'd say, oh, that's interesting. Like, there's a level of quality. You're not sharing tag.
I remember going, like, literally, only a few months ago, I'm going onto Instagram and I'm getting angry because I'm seeing so much shit shared around. Like,
but do you think they want to share it?
No, I don't
or
know.
Or do you think they have to share it? Because
this is the thing. I've fallen into a trap. I have to share this this post because if I don't share it, someone's going to think, like... If someone doesn't share a car culture image or an image that I've taken, I don't care. Like
it's not your job, though.
What do you mean it's not my job? Like,
for quite a few people in the scene here, the reason they take any cars because that's their job. That's their day. Like that. That's their.
Who's actually getting paid to take pictures of cars here? Right. Like in.
I think some people are trying.
Ahmed, who is hiding behind, he doesn't like to be seen. Might be able to chirp in with this. You've lived here for a long time. You've seen a lot of content creators, right? Like, do you actually think how many people are getting paid to take pictures of cars here?
Not for social media. So all the posts they put on social media, I don't think they're getting paid for it. However, there are a few that actually do the marketing pictures. But that's limited because it's very rare that the Middle East division of the brand wants marketing pictures in the UAE. So the very few times that that happens, yes, they are paid for it. So I've seen pictures of Aston Martin, Cadillacs, and some others that have been shot here for marketings in the Middle East. And that's a shift I'd like to see more brands take, because the pictures we get here on billboards on Sheikh Zayed Road are pictures taken elsewhere in the world. You can't relate to them. So that segment of the market can grow, but there are very, very few people who can achieve that level of quality where you're layering pictures with light, where you're taking different exposures and combining them. So, and the job is, it's very spaced out between shoots that I don't think you can actually sustain yourself on it. So they have to find other ways. A lot of car photographers shoot something else to compensate for the lack of income from car photography.
But then there's two things there, right? You've got photographer as profession and the dirty word, which is influencer. Because a photographer, that's their job. They shoot, and like there has been, like I, as a person that's worked here, we've done, for example, on Jeep, quite a few different shoots here locally, and we've used stuff. But that's photography. I'm thinking in terms of like shooting cars and posting on Instagram as an influencer, because influencers get paid. Is anyone here
getting paid? How do influencers get paid, by the way?
Promote. I mean, it is normally per post or per activation.
And do you reckon there's many influencers locally
automotive
based?
Influencers, let's like...
I don't think automotive influencers here are paid for taking a car for a weekend and posting it on their Instagram.
So there I don't think they are. I know some people that might say they do, or they try to project that they do, but I don't think you as a brand will probably know like that that not many people are getting paid, surely.
It's the thing is that why would we pay when we could give it to someone and do it and like enjoy the car? So from a budget perspective, it's always return on investment, right? You can give a car to somebody to enjoy, and they like review it and enjoy it, take photos of it, and now it's on social media. What's the brand getting for that? What's its actual value?
Because I don't that's understand, how you cost it, but right? I don't understand what you would get as a brand if someone took what's one of your brands that's not.
Let's not use one of my brands, so I can put this on. Okay. Let's use Honda, for example.
Okay, Honda.
Yeah.
I don't want to really take a Honda.
Civic, right? Type R. New. Okay, so brand new. Everyone's talking about it.
What does a brand get if someone who's got like 1,500 followers or even 10,000 followers just goes and parks the car in front of a tree and takes a photo of it? Or post that they're driving it on Instagram, like parading around in it at the weekend.
Well, let's focus that onto a monetary value, right? How much is that exposure worth? That's how you would calculate how much money you would give for it, right? Because that's how it works. Like at some point, there's a balance sheet to say we paid this for that.
But we like so, me as a person, right? I see so many people taking different cars. I don't value their opinion of it because it's always great, right? I don't know. You see, there'll be that person at the weekend. This is why I started unfollowing people as well. It's just like, oh, it's the weekend. What shit car am I going to see on my Instagram for the whole fucking weekend that I don't want to see, right? Hash, don't laugh, man. Come on. But it's true, right? Like, I don't want to... That's why I don't want to spend my time looking at...
Well, that's because I think that becomes then, rather than influencer, it's verging into the era of online journalist, right? But that's the sphere I think that content creator wants to occupy. Let's remove if it's good or bad, but I'm saying like you've got the three buckets. You've got professional photographer who creates shots for like actual ad campaigns going out in the region. You have automotive influencer who is just, for example, might own a car from a brand and just does lots of stuff from that. And aside from that, you've got person who acts as an outlet. Right, those are the three categories I could almost make for Instagrammer, because they are three different people. So, for example, like what's the name of the Indian guy who shot the RWBs? Really, really cool stuff.
Arun,
yeah. I'd put him in photographer. Like that is really quality work, right?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Couple of things, if I can jump in super quick. Arun has been an inspiration to people who wanted to be professional photographers in this region for the last 10 years.
He's also got a style, right?
He's
also got a definitive style as well.
Style and quality. Really
and that's the thing. He's another guy who's always stayed faithful to that style. But he started out as a staff photographer at Awesome Group, which used to be Crank and Piston. Way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And he worked his way up and then eventually started picking up the contracts for these manufacturers that we were talking about. And the Middle Eastern arm was like, okay, we're not sure. But then Global comes in, like BMW Global says, Arun, we really like your work. Mm. And that has happened. And so now he can sit in India. He's moved back, but he's represented by a lady in Spain, if I'm not mistaken, for Europe, and someone in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. He does professional work. He won't put everything up on his website. He rarely posts on Instagram, but he is killing it, as he deserves to, because he works incredibly hard and his quality has only increased over time, not decreased or stagnated.
But he's not an influencer and he's not a journalist.
He's not. Yeah. But coming back to what you were saying with the three buckets and everything, I think there's one thing that we haven't talked about yet, and it's about the people that you follow and the people around you. So I'm not a JDM guy, but I like hanging out with you guys because you guys, I wouldn't say you guys welcomed me, but you guys have been nice enough to share.
Oh, no, we have, man. Don't say that. That makes it sound crap, right?
No, I'm not. It's not about you guys being nice. I'm not trying to say you guys are nice
guys. I'm not a nice person.
No, we noticed.
Come on. But what I'm saying is you guys have been warm and have given me your time and haven't said, all right, this guy's an outsider kind of thing. You guys have kind of welcomed me into, oh, you want to learn about JDM? Guys, come back, et cetera, et cetera. That's not always the case. And so it depends on where you land and what kind of people you follow, what kind of people
you're hanging out with. Kind of bucket you want to live in? To go back to what you're saying, like
pink furry bucket, if it is my choice.
I want to say that's a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. A person can have ambitions, have goals, and say, that is the bucket that I want to aspire to be, and you work towards that. I think the people around you also influence you without anything about influencers or any of that stuff. But generally, like the people in this room, for example, will influence each other on a subconscious level.
You know, someone has been trying to about a certain aspect of my car as well.
Yeah, I don't think that's subconscious.
I'm not the only one, right? I'm just not scared to tell you.
Yeah.
Everyone else. Is this because where we live, everyone's scared to say everything?
It's not where we live. It's generally, that is the case in the world right now.
Everyone in the world thinks his car's shit. Anyway.
But back to what you're saying, Sid, yeah.
Yeah, so you get influenced on a subconscious level. Now,
is your mum and dad actually, when you come home in the car, they go, oh, that's a really nice car, Alex. Yes. They laugh at you.
For everyone watching this and listening to this, this is a long story that we'll continue at some other point.
We'll do a review. You know what would be really good? A car review. Dan drives my car and reviews it, but so we give it its own space. Sid, you are our guest.
Yeah. So what I was saying was, yeah, people influence you on a subconscious decision. On a subconscious level. Now, coming back to what you were saying, on the weekend, you've become more and more progressively upset because you're tired of seeing the same crap because someone that you don't like or someone that you used to like has taken out a regular car.
It's not even like them or not. Like, I'll be honest with you. If you started taking
Jettas.
Oh, fuck it. Anything. Passats. Mercedes or I don't know, actually. I'd sit down and I'd tell you. If you would take, I don't know, it's just sellout. It just feels sellout, right? Like, why?
Well, that's my point about buckets, right? And going back to who you are in terms of content creator, what bucket you want to sit in, that relates back to style and what you want to create, right? And that's a conscious decision. That's a decision to say, do I need to churn? Do I need to always make sure there's stuff going out? Or can I be Arun, for example, as a professional photographer, say I don't care if I don't post for 6 months because I've got my work coming in. It goes back to what you are putting out and what you expect from, again, one social media platform, Instagram, right?
When we talk style, we also mean the car that we're shooting as well, right?
Everything, to me, that's the whole thing, style, right? Yeah, the your content entirely, every single aspect of it, your location, the car, every decision is style, right?
I think we also, when it comes to modified cars as well, we live in a country where there is a real lack of, I'm not digging at you again, but there is a real lack of tastefully modified cars when it comes to JDM as well. There's a lot of stuff off the scale. I actually see there's a few really talented photographers here at the moment, that have started producing content that are just, it would frustrate me because they're putting in a lot of effort, right? So
polishing a turd.
Yeah, basically, and I think that car culture probably spent a long time doing the same thing, right? I think my only thing, advice to anyone, is just make sure you shoot the right subject. The other things I wanted to talk about is, do people get annoyed by if you're, the platforms that you're on? We live in a world now where we're trying to produce content for Instagram, and I think that limits creativity. if you're a YouTuber, there aren't that many automotive YouTubers here in the region. They're producing content that just fits a platform for YouTube, right? I think that's hard. But, I mean, like here, I just think we are lacking, at the moment in the automotive scene, there's a real lack of consistent
content. Keep that thought. What's the final remark? Because I know we need to wrap up. So, yeah. So with all the things you've said considered, like, what do you think about content online and specifically how it relates to style and content?
Oh, and we're talking this region, right? Like, I just think that we're in a dry spell. Like, I think a long time ago, not a long time ago, but a few years ago, it was quite, there was a lot of inspiration going on. Maybe there was a lot more people in this region, right? Like, and I think UAE is a continual cycle, right? Unfortunately, it's a very transient place, right? So people come and people go. Even the events that we live in, like, well,
even outside of automotive,
right? Yeah. Like, there's been a change. Like, there was times where I'd get excited to go to this event, and I'm definitely not excited to go to that event anymore. Maybe it's just because my taste has changed. Maybe I enjoyed looking at a lot of cheap JDM cars, and now I'm like, no, we need something better, more.
So, well, I think that's maybe more part of why you made an event as well.
Yeah, let's not talk about that one.
Sid, final remarks? Yeah,
oh, before we round up, Sid, you've had the opportunity to shoot in two different regions throughout your life, throughout your professional or photography career. So would you say your style was built here in the UAE or was it built abroad? And has it changed from here to there or from there to here?
Can I answer that?
Just find out.
Let's find out.
I'm not
first.
Answering it for me. I answer it for him.
I get it, but first, because style.
Because I know it. Because I like. I didn't
so
know.
So first,
you.
I'd like to hear his answer because usually people.
Yeah, fuck you, Ahmed. I'm right. I don't think it has personally, but yes, let's hear what Sid says. Sorry, producer Ahmed.
To answer that, I'd say, I want to say 40-60. 40% over here, 60% over there. And like Dan, tastes change, your style changes.
You started shooting more people when you moved to LA.
I did, mm-hmm. Because there are cars. There are cars everywhere. But at some point, like I was saying earlier, I would never finish making the point, was the cars are cool, but they actually bring people together. And I know that sounds super cheesy,
community,
but it does work. Yeah.
Typical Porsche owner here.
Fair enough, guilty as charged. But when you actually get people, like, candidly having a conversation and they don't know you're taking a photograph of them, those are the photographs that come out right. Now, yeah, you might take 10 and one is the beautiful shot that you had envisioned, but, yeah. And keeping, like, your question in mind, Ahmed, about how my style has changed as such, I wouldn't say it's changed that much. I want to say it's improved, but jury's out on that one. But I want to continue improving. And change is not a bad thing. At the same time, don't get sucked in and don't get kind of caught up in what everyone else is
doing. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So if you each could have individual. One sentence to wrap up the advice, right? Yeah. So we have a thing to like take away. What would your advice be, Sid?
Protect your individual...
voice?
No, I'd say protect your individuality. Come what may, forget the algorithms, forget the rhythm, forget everything else. Take what people say, think about it, but don't take it just as face value or gospel truth. Think about stuff. If there's something of value in there, incorporate it into your stuff and improve. Haters are going to hate always. That's what everyone says. Sure.
It's my job, that is.
Hater in chief, Dan. But see, that's the thing. Dan often speaks the truth. It cuts to the bone, but the person who ends up benefiting the most is someone who thinks about what he says and sees.
I'm always open to be proved wrong, right? So anyone that I've,
and that's the thing,
may have offended, like, and if they do something good, I'm like, I'll be the first one to go, actually, that's really good. Yep. Andy can vouch for this in many, many different forms, right? Like, especially when it comes to the car scene here. I'm not out here to win a competition or anything, and if I like something, we talk about content that we like.
Yeah.
Even us as a group, we're always talking about content we like and kind of like ignore who's made it as such as well. Like,
good content, you know, is good content. Doesn't matter who's created it. But that's the thing. Protect your individuality to answer your question in one sentence and don't get caught up with other people's stuff. Just do your thing. Do what makes you happy.
Dan, one sentence, advice.
take that fucking great big wing off the back of your NSX.
So you've heard it here, folks. If you want to take good pictures, take wings off your cars. No, one sentence.
So actually, right, yeah. Here we go. And we will finish on this note. And I think this is possibly like one of the biggest things that you'll be able to take home from this today, Alex, is when he took photos of your car, he only published ones from the front at a slight angle where you couldn't see the wing. So, you know, this man wanted to protect his style, but he's friendly with you, Alex. So he's like, I'll shoot your car, but I'll only publish.
There's much more to that. There's much more to that. We'll talk about maybe on the next one. We'll see.
Okay. Sorry, Alex. Yeah. I do apologize.
I'm actually really, really, really.
Sorry, Alex.
I think that's a wrap. That was our first podcast.
Thanks for the Kinder eggs.
Yeah. Again, I think what we want to do with this forum is keep it open to talking about things that might make people uncomfortable. But I think the reason we do car culture in general, each and every one of us, is to see things get better. And we want everyone to succeed. I don't think anyone doesn't want anyone else to succeed. There's space for us all to succeed. And I think this is a place for all of us to have an opinion, agree or not agree, and voice those opinions and work out how to do better work together. Right?
No, I just hate everyone.
It's a wrap.